The Strip Mind system had little to recommend it. Their target, Orm-3, came into focus on the Priest's windshield. A distant blue star shot its light past Severquad's ship as it flew in, catching the planet and making its yellow-brown surface clear. Darker, blurred lines moved along the land, like living smudges parading over paper. Massive storms, a pony sitting in the pilot's chair noted. Never fun to race in those. Or fight, Aurora, in the co-pilot's seat beside a pony, replied. Both had their brimming coffee cups, waking up to the first day in months that would really matter. Skin suits, a pony's a soft gold, Aurora's a blood red, snugged them, allowing quick access to power armor. A pony's left arm no longer had its cast, the snapped bone having knit itself back into shape. The pilot's left hand drummed on a pony's thigh, anxious. Rusted nerves. A vacation's cost. Not that Sever had many options. As much as Aurora may have wanted to chase the agent Vanna all the way to this world, Sever left Gillenfor battered and exhausted. The fighters had hardly slept, had been strung out on adrenaline and whatever else could keep them functioning for days. Laser burns, concussions, knife cuts, and worse, all needed tending. But after more than 100 days spent recuperating, repairing, and realigning her squad to its mission and its place, in a galaxy that now saw Sever as a group to be detained or destroyed, Aurora felt they'd gone long enough. More importantly, Aurora's maybe more than friend and Defense Corp Admiral Deepak sent the message saying it was time. Vanna, the Defense Corp agent masterminding a program designing near-invisible power armor suits coupled with genetically enhanced soldiers, had decided to stand up for her claims and bring Defense Corp's leader to a single spot. There, according to Deepak, Vanna would convince the massive galaxy-spanning company's leaders to go along with the plan, creating a new force that wouldn't so much handle contracts for help as drop an ironclad shroud over civilization. After all, who could fight an enemy that could be anywhere? We could have stayed, Sai said, Sever's resident father and swordmaster. His voice came over the priest's intercom, drifting in from the ship's right turret. The cash was pretty good. The station, a freewheeling center point in a large asteroid cluster, had offered Sever a standing contract to provide security. While Aurora would have been fine beating up drunk miners for steady pay on the galaxy's fringe, she'd already played that role once and watched as Defense Corp swooped in and stole the work. How long do you think we'd last before Vanna's new toys took it from us? Rovo, the squad's resident comms expert and a third cockpit occupant, spoke for Aurora. We'd be bored, and then we'd be dead. Rovo had his own motivations to hit Vanna. All of Sever did. That tugging, burning feeling sat wrong inside Aurora. Vengeance wasn't normally an issue, because Aurora's enemies tended to die long before they became a nagging problem. Vanna, though, continued to escape, to twist the fights so they weren't clear-cut laser tags until one side lay smoking on the ground. Like blocks building up into an enraging tower, Aurora had spent the recovery time on the station, assembling all the reasons why she needed to turn Vanna to ash. And now, they'd arrived. Tell me I'm seeing things, a pony said, nodding towards the glass. New imperfections crossed the planet's surface as the Prisa approached. What had looked like splotches, normal smears across a landscape seen from afar, resolved into sharper focus. Blurred lines became straight edges associated with man-made machines. One or two could have meant Vanna's own forces. But as the Prisa came in closer, those dots kept appearing and growing. They didn't just bring themselves, Aurora said, not wanting to believe it. They actually brought their commands, too. That's going to burn a lot of contracts, Rovo added, as if saying that here would convince all those admirals to jump back in their ships and return home.